And now we're going to talk about why. That is, why would someone appropriate a narrative of urban struggle? Issa Yulin blogs about writing, among other things, at issayulin.com. And she teaches English at Hunter College in New York City and wrote the novel Crystal Morning. Hey, Issa.
Hi, good morning, Fry.
So you read the book review for Love and Consequences in the Times. What was your reaction?
Well, when I first read the review, I was a little bit taken aback by the idea that a white-looking girl would be adopted or taken in by a black foster family, particularly in South Central, particularly in a gang-ridden neighborhood of South Central. I just thought that that was a bit odd. I live in Brooklyn, and I've traveled through much of black America. And as an African-American, I can say that, you know, it's very rare that, at least anecdotally, I've ever seen or even heard of black families taking in white children. The transracial thing usually goes the other way.
So, you know, in Motoko's article, Seltzer says that she wanted to, quote, put a voice to people who people don't listen to. So do you believe that this was some form of public service? Do you think that she was ego tripping? Do you think she just wanted the money? If you had to put, you know, on your psychic cap, why do you think this kind of thing happens?
You know, I thought for a while, particularly, you know, with the whole Native American thing, and that she seemed to be sort of expressing this persona for so many years, even prior to obtaining the book contract. I thought maybe there was, I don't know, I mean, I'm no Dr. Phil, but maybe there's actually something psychologically wrong with her that compels her to take on this persona for some reason. I don't know, something that happened in her childhood. It just seems really odd. And in terms of giving a voice to the voiceless, I think, unfortunately, this author has silenced the authentic black experience more than revealing any truths about what it means to be dispossessed in America. So if she had some kind of liberal intention to express the truth of black life, she actually had the reverse effect.
What narratives, how do basically African-American authors or authors of color enter the publishing world? Do people enter, if you have a memoir and you are black, do you enter the world with a perspective from some publishers like, well, we've heard this before. We know black people are screwed up. So, you know, we don't want another one of these. I mean, was part of this just a man bites dog situation?
I do. I think it's sort of like the, you know, 7 years in Tibet Tarzan phenomenon, where you have this lone white person or white looking person, because she did claim that she was part Native American, among, you know, black folks. And it's the story of survival and overcoming and getting through. And, you know, it's like she's Sheena of the jungle and can talk to the natives in a way that, you know, the rest of Middle America can't. And that in of itself, of course, is at the very least problematic. It's also interesting because she talks about giving a voice to the voiceless, but we do have, you know, gang memoirs. There's East Side Stories, Gang Life in East L.A., there's Monster, there's Inside the Crips, there's My Bloody Life, The Making of a Latin King. Snoop Pearson from The Wire has a book out, or coming out, if I'm not mistaken. And
yep,
then there are classics like Down These Mean Streets and Makes Me Wanna Holler. So we have, not to mention photography, film, music. I mean, she really wasn't doing us any favors.
Just quickly, do you think, are you hopeful that the publishing industry will learn something from this?
I hope so. You know, Terry Williams has mentored an actual former gang member who has a book deal. And what's wonderful about Terry Williams is that she didn't secure a book deal for herself. She enabled somebody who really had these experiences to be able to tell his own story. And if this woman, Seltzer, actually had the intention of giving a voice to the voiceless, I certainly wish that she had helped use her context to enable somebody who really had these experiences to tell their real story. You know, somebody didn't get a book published that year because her book was pushed up and put on the cycle. Somebody got a lower advance or didn't get an advance at all because she got almost $100,000 for this. So I think the industry is really going to have to take a hard look at itself and really do some self-analysis, especially when it comes to race and the white experience with the darker other.
All right, Issa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Issa Yulin is the author of the novel Crystal Morning. She also teaches English at Hunter College in New York City.